Okay. Hopefully everybody's finished their letter. And of Rosie going, you'd think I could remember her name. It's very similar to my own. And I don't want to miss this opportunity. I have to tell you, this is the first in my entire life that I've ever been in a room where three women are named Rose. There's some derivations thereof. So we got a regular bouquet in here, for crying out loud. Miracle. I never seen you meet anybody with my name. It's like the strangest experience I've had. So anyway, we are going to open the room for shares. I'm going to guess you're going to have to come up to the podium. Sounds like probably that's what we would want you to do. I'm not sure how long we're going to do it for, but we're going to probably do it for another 20 to 30 minutes, I think, because the thing opens at 1, ends at 1. That's unless somebody tells me different. So I'm going to guesstimate maybe about 20, 30 minutes we have for shares. And, okay, let me see. What else do I have to say? Oh, I said the thing about keeping those pictures moving. And I think that's it. Do I have anybody that wants to volunteer to start? I know enough names I could call on people. I know, and I'm evil, just like Elvis. Ah, Mike's coming this direction. Was Mike, are you planning to share?
I am.
Ah, it's all yours.
I'm Mike, I'm a compulsive overeater. I am just absolutely grateful for being here today, and I would really like to thank Rosie for her share. I heard a lot of things in there that really get home to me and started me thinking about, you know, I think of myself as just starting program 3 years ago, but my first meeting I went to was in 1976, I went in and said, these people are freaking nuts, and I walked out and never came back again for a long time. For me, the holidays is always an interesting experience, and I have a lot of stuff around my family that I've chosen to kind of bury and ignore, and I went home 2 years ago and didn't have a very good experience because my role in the family had changed because I used to be the fat guy. And I have a twin brother, and he would always figure out how much I weighed, and then he would diet to make sure he was less than me. And I went home and he was about 290 and I was 185, and he wouldn't even make eye contact with me. And my sister said, you still pig out, oink, at me. And it was just, and so I haven't been home for 2 years, and I'm going home in March. And so I'm already starting to struggle with that thought of the visit, and I talked to Rosie, and she's going to hook me up with some meetings when I'm in Arizona. So that's the wonder of this program. And just to see so many familiar faces and people that I know that live where I live and live with food the way I live with food or have lived with food. And I'm just really grateful, and I love the letter. I got my letter a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and my wife opened it. So I put confidential on this one, so I can keep it to myself. And she always opens my mail because it's our mail. But anyway, it was really great to look at that letter and see what I was thinking a year ago. And to see the things that are where they are and see the things that where they aren't. And I need to share for just to get it out there that I've been struggling over the last month or so. And my struggles have been not around my binge foods and that kind of stuff. My struggles have been around just not being present with my higher power, and I found my meditations in the morning have gone from, a great meditation for me is 5 minutes because I just can't keep my mind relaxed, but they've gone from 5 minutes to nothing, and it's just been a struggle for me to sit down and really spend time with God, and when that happens, I struggle in other places in my life. And I need to just get that out and say it in front of people, because I think just because I've had good success with my physical appearance, people think I want this wonderful program. And my program is like everybody else's program. It's far from perfect. And I think when I try to make it perfect, that's when I'm really in my disease. So anyway, thank you very much for doing this. And back thoughts, I wish I'd discovered this thing a long time ago, but I didn't. Wasn't there, and it wasn't time for me. So thank you.
I'm Jonathan. I'm a compulsive overeater now and forever. Hi. I don't have anything to say. Well, it's great talking to you. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've got this disease real bad. I was born with it. I'd never had the opportunity of being a skinny kid. My baby fat just served as a good foundation for a whole lot more. And I got up to 300 pounds. And, you know, finally, I mean, my weight almost killed me, so I came into program. But it wasn't fixed, you know. And I have to say, I still am not. I am very much broken. And it's so helpful for me to hear stories of relapse. Thank you. You know, I mean, I offer you my sincerest gratitude. Thank you. Because, you know, I hate to admit it, but I'm not perfect. Lord knows I try to make it that way. But part of my journey is to learn not to be perfect, or to at least accept it when I'm not. So, you know, I'm really grateful for these rooms where I can come with a whole bunch of other people that are sick. And I heard this yesterday at a meeting. Someone said, I'm not here bad getting good. I'm here sick getting well. You know, so I hope in this new year that I am able to offer myself that kindness, and to treat myself as a sick person getting well. And that's, you know, it's really, that's my intention, is to really work on acceptance for myself and to continue trying to do my very best. Thanks.
My name is Arun. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm relatively new to OA, and I was in another 12-step program before this, so I act like I know a lot. And I have a lot of experience with the steps, which I really don't. Where I'm weak at right now is I obsess about food. I obsess about food a lot when I'm not eating, and when I do eat, I just eat it really fast. I just don't really care what's in front of me. I just shovel it in. And that's now. And before, I mean, I've been a fat kid all my life. I think when I was in seventh grade, I was probably like 180 pounds, and I had breasts. And people used to make fun of me at that time. And that wasn't fun, but I always went for food when I came home from school, and my dad always had a lot of food for me when I was there, and I'd always go to that. Even with my other addiction, even though I can get some recovery in there, I'd always went back to food. And I saw for me that I was really losing control of how much I was eating. And at work, I felt like I was eating more than working most of the time. And that was kind of scaring me. And so now, what I do today is I have a sponsor that I check in my food with, and I try to stick with my food plan, though I don't do it perfectly, and I beat myself up a lot when I don't stick with my food plan perfectly and according to the time. I'm really about time. I need to eat every so many hours, and if I don't meet it, I beat myself up a lot. And I guess one of the things I'm slowly working on with asking my higher power for help is just to be gentle with myself. Thank you guys for having this conference. My first time here, and thank you for just welcoming me so much. And thank you, Rosie, for sharing your story. I don't know where you are, but thank you.
I'm Tom, and I'm a bulimic and a food addict, and I have nothing to say. It's just that all the men were speaking, so I thought I'd continue. I think, was it Rosie who was talking about the first time she went to a meeting? And I remember my first meeting, which was Shepherd of the Hills Friday, mid-April, 3 years ago. And all these women, and I'm going, there were no guys. In fact, I didn't discover guys for several weeks in program. I think somebody said, well, you should go to the Saturday morning because all the guys were there. And I said, why would I want to do that? I felt really comfortable with women. Men, frankly, scared me. You know, I mean, I've been a guy all my life. You know, but I never felt comfortable in the company of men. I never felt like I quite measured up. You know, I was always at least through. You know, high school and so forth, kind of athletic and played sports and did that kind of stuff, but I never quite figured it out. And I think it came from growing up and being excluded, as a boy from the company of other boys, because I was the fat kid, and I was at that point, my early years, I wasn't, I was slower, I wasn't that coordinated, And so I never really kind of got into that camaraderie of young men and so forth. And young men, like young women, I think can be somewhat cruel if you don't quite fit in. And I didn't. And then we moved to a different town, and I kind of grew into my height and became more coordinated. And all of a sudden I'm accepted by boys, by the young men and so forth. And I never really knew how to relate to that. I always felt like I was kind of a fraud. And I hid that, though. And I think that's why my disease with respect to food took the form it did, which was, bulimia, because you could hide that. I didn't wear my weight. I didn't wear my disease. I wore it on the inside. But I didn't wear it on the outside. But when I saw myself, I didn't see who I was, which was, a young, lean, kind of athletic kid. What I saw was, I saw this fat kid. I saw the kid I was when I was 8 or 9 or 10 and wearing Husky jeans and, that were rolled up this far because for some reason my mom thought I would grow into them. I never did, but it was, it took me a long time, and because I hid my disease and I didn't wear my disease, it took me a long time to realize that I belonged here, that this is where I belong. I mean, I came into OA entirely by fluke. I got involved in, my wife found a book about people who self-sabotage, because that's how, I've led my life. I self-sabotage. And she found a book about that, and they had a little 12-step program that grew up around that, and they used OA literature because it's a small program. They didn't have their own literature, and they said, if you want to go to a meeting, it's pretty safe to go to an OA meeting. I've been throwing up since I was 16, so I've been throwing up my food for 36 years, maybe, and I never thought I had a food problem. I never thought I had issues with food. So coming into the program was, the thing I remember about sitting in that meeting that first day was the surprise I felt that I belonged here, that this wasn't just a placeholder that I could go get some human companionship in between the phone meetings, because this other tradition, that's all they did was have phone meetings. So doing that was pretty amazing. And then when somebody said, and we have a bulimic meeting on Sunday, like, holy crap, I felt like I had finally found people that understood me because they went through the same thing that I did, because this is truly a disease of isolation, and that's what I did all my life. I isolated, and that's still my go-to. That's what I go to. I go to isolation. I can't, and it's the damnedest thing, because, program has helped me to recover, but then when I relapse and slip back, it's like I feel like I can't let all you guys down, because now I've relapsed and I'm no longer, perfect. So I have to isolate and fix myself until, thank God for program, has taught me that, no, it's when you're broken that I need all of you. So anyway, I had no intention of saying any of this. But I've got a microphone, and why not? Anyway, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for everybody who organized these wonderful events that allow us all to get together.
Hi, I'm Stan, recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Stan.
It's truly amazing to be here, and I have a lot of gratitude that I could be with all the people that are really that are like me. One of the things that you brought up, Rosie, which I haven't thought about for a very long time, is the strong connection between mental illness and food. When I was growing up, I was born in 1939, so when I was growing up, I was raised Jewish Orthodox, and a lot of the people that I knew sort of came from either the pogroms or the concentration camps. And my whole neighborhood, I went to a school that was very dreary. I don't know if you know anything about Jewish. All the books were black, and they had like a couple of light bulbs hanging. And I spoke a language, and I had a mannerism that was preparing me like for 19th century Poland, And and everything, you know, with people spoke. And one of the crazy things that is, that used to drive me to distraction, when you're raised as Jewish, you can answer a question with a question. So when are you coming? When should I come? So, you know, you'd be sitting there and talking to somebody, and in a half hour, no information gets transferred. It's, you know, and all these habits were things that I learned. But the only exception to all of this craziness was the food. No matter what home you went to, you had the best of everything. And there was no length to which somebody would not go for excellent food. For my bar mitzvah, for the part that was in the house, we actually had, they brought home a card and they put it in the goddamn bathtub. And honest to God, that's how they made, you know, gefilte fish for the, you know, for the wedding. For the bar mitzvah, they wouldn't trust the guy whose life it was to, you know, to clean the fish. They had to do it at home. And I don't know if you know how difficult, you know, that particularly is. You know, I could tell foodalog stories from today to doomsday, because that's the way, you know, that's the way I was raised. The amazing thing was, besides picking up all the habits and food, I picked up a lot of unconscious habits about being like a tortured soul. But when I came to OA, oh, it's like 32 years ago, you know, I began working the program, and a miraculous thing happened. I lost about 100 pounds, but besides losing the 100 pounds, my personality did a 180-degree turnaround. When I first came to OA, I was always interested in me, you know, so what's this guy going to say so I could do it, so I could be thinner? What's this guy going to say so I could do better? And then what happened in Los Angeles, I went on a retreat, and, you know, I was a teacher, and my main thrust about how I taught was motivation. And this retreat turned out to be a two-day meeting. And I don't know if you know, a lot of times in OA, shares can get pretty boring. Because, you know, generally, most of our shares, well, I used to be fat, I went to OA, and now I'm kind of skinny, you know. No. And that's, you know, that's the relationship, you know, of that kind of theme is that we know what it was. But to sit and actually have to sit in a four-hour meeting and listen to this. So then, after that, I said, the next time we had the retreat, I went on the retreat committee. And, you know, we did, you know, I planned the thing where we had like a silent eating and your feelings about it. And we had like an exercise program, and then we got somebody else to do something else. So we had a whole bunch of different activities. And that made a Herculean switch when I found out that it wasn't all about me, that I could learn, you know, to share with other people. And the difference that, you know, it makes is, I used to be like, you know, I had like these long things with depression and feeling down and, you know, feeling angry about that stuff. And now I think back for like, if I'm a little tired for like a half a day, then it's amazing. And the amazing thing about this program is not just about, you know, when they show, you know, like those things on TV, they get up there and they say, look at me now, look how I used to be, you know. But the amazing thing is what an amazing effect it has on emotionally who you are and how you relate to other people. So anyway, thank you all for being here.
Thank you. I'm Cindy, and I'm a compulsive overeater and anorexic.
I'm Cindy.
And I just had to break the man cycle thing. It was just like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I just thought, you know, a little representation. No, I'm kidding. I don't even know what I'm going to say other than I feel like I need to out myself as far as I feel like I can talk the talk and sound like I know what I'm doing, and I've been in the program a long time, and I do a lot of things, but I, especially the last year or two, I feel like I've really kept a wall up and really kept my distance from everybody, including my sponsor in the program. And I know I still am obsessed with food and weight, especially my body. And I do this thing where I'll lose a little bit of weight and it's really getting too low, so I'll gain it back. Then I have to have a control, so I have to lose a couple pounds so I know I have control. So that's where I'm at. I've been in the control mode, and I feel like it's kind of half measures and half recovery. And I could be more spiritual. Like, you know, there's no such thing as perfect, but I really feel like I'm limiting myself as far as my spiritual recovery and really letting go. You know, letting go of trying to control my food, my weight, my body. So that's just kind of where I am with my program. But I'm really grateful to be here. And I mean, my top weight was 150 and my bottom weight was 78. So I mean, that's a lot of eating and starving. I mean, and I did, you know, for years and years and years. And I've been within a 10-pound range for the last going on 12 years. So that for me is some recovery anyway. Anyway, thanks.
I'm Waynell, and I am a compulsive overeater. It's really great to be here. I had a dream last night that I was an hour late for a meeting, and I came in an hour late this morning. So I guess I'm congruent between my anxiety about perpetually being late and being with people that probably understand that a little bit. I am so grateful to be here, and I want to thank Rosie for her share. I feel like she's my twin, and it's just so wonderful to hear a relapse treated as part of this disease. I, too, don't know how to count how long I've been in OA. I think the first time I walked in the doors is 1980 or something. And I really do literally at this point in my life have trouble with linear time, so I don't know where I am. But I think that is what higher power has in mind for me. When I look back and I hear about starving and binging, I go, oh my God, yeah, that's all I lived for. That is all I lived for. Of course, it's January 1st, about once a year, I pull out that dreaded machine and I got on it and I was totally shocked. So I know that there are ways that I need to be more aware of my physical being. I feel like I'm really grateful that I have such a full life and that I'm not binging and starving anymore, but I want to dedicate myself this year for higher power, making me more aware of the world. So everything I've heard this morning has caught me. I'm so grateful I had this dream. I'm so grateful for my OA sponsor who let me know what time to show up. On some level, I feel very developmentally delayed, but also very grateful to be here. Everything everybody said has resonated with me, and I'm not exaggerating. Every single word of the shares, I went, oh, that's me too. That's why I'm here this morning, rather in another recovery meeting. I make a joke, those that know me, that everybody in my family's in different stages of recovery with different choices around what they want to use. So Christmas was a lot of fun this year. The stories about the food and that how you have to practically kill the calf or you're not worthy enough to be serving Christmas dinner is no joke in our family. So here I am, very grateful to see all these faces here this morning, very grateful that I'm not binging my brains out or starving myself at this particular point in my life. Thank you.
Okay, I didn't really want to come up here. There's too many people. But my sponsor said maybe I should come and talk. Well, I'm glad, I'm Nadia, I'm a bulimic, by the way. I am glad 2011 is over. I hated that year. It's been a year from hell. But in all the hell that I've gone through, I mean, I still don't know whether I'm going to keep my job. I lost my brother, and it's been hell. But throughout all of it, I've been abstinent, and I don't know how come for the past 3 years I've been abstinent. Because I'm one of those that don't do the program the way I see some people doing it. It's like, wow, I don't do none of that stuff. None of that stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, how come I got it? I mean, I got it from the beginning. Like Tom, and I don't want to crosstalk, I've been bulimic for 28 years. And by the grace of God, when I got to the program, I got it. I don't know. I think it's a gift of God, because why am I deserving more than anybody else? I mean, I'm like a nobody, you know? So I don't know why, but I know that I have control of zero in my life. And if I don't give it to God, then shit hits the fan. I'm sorry. I mean, I do nothing right. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. So thank you.
Hi, my name's Lauren. I'm a compulsive eater and sugar addict.
Hi, Lauren.
And I came down from Boulder today with a small group, and it's nice to meet new people. I usually don't get up and speak, so something took over. But anyway, I was grateful to hear all the shares this morning. And I just wanted to say that for me, I haven't really experienced fluctuations in my weight. I didn't know if I could qualify for OA, but I knew that I really had a lot of fluctuations emotionally and mentally, and from sugar addiction. And I had a sponsor in another program who told me to try OA, and I said, I don't think they'll let me come, because if I don't show that I have a weight problem, and I was really scared. But once I heard people start talking about, insanity and all that kind of stuff, I knew that's what really resonated with me. And I just wanted to say that, because I don't really hear that too much. But for me, it has been the case. And I found a lot more stability with my moods and with, you know, being able to deal with life on life's terms just through working with my eating and making that cleaner and being more honest about what I was doing with food. And I also wanted to say that I'm at some point this spring, I think I'm going to be moving out of this area over to Western Colorado. And I wrote in my letter to myself that I really don't want to leave the program or lose the program, because it's really helped me so much over 6 years. So I'm going to get myself connected over there and do my best to do that. And that's all I have. Thank you very much, everybody.
I'm Brock, compulsive overeater. And I know this is a bit selfish, because there's been a lot of speakers, so thank you for letting me come up here and continue. This event is a lifesaver. It's so good to laugh together. When I get the beautiful letters that I write to myself, the feeling at the end of the year is kind of, I didn't do enough. And there's a tendency to really get down. I mean, not get down, just be down. And to come on January 1st, it's a symbolic day. I mean, every minute is renewal. But I just feel such a sense of renewal today with this brunch and with all of you here. And it just is like a big hand of OA or higher power or my psyche or whatever, just lifting me up and not letting me get into that, oh gee, this year went by so quickly and I didn't lose enough weight and I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And, you know, just stop it and just start again. And the laughter gets me out of myself, out of that self-centeredness, and I'm so grateful for the people who started this event and continue it, and I'm so glad to be here. Thanks.
I'm Donna, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I've noticed that, I have a lot of difficulties with my attitude, but when I come to OA events and don't share, I'm much more prone to say, I don't know how good it was. But when I do share, it's like, oh, that was the best possible thing. So I guess it's just, one of those lessons about participating, but the title, Recovery, Relapse, and Back Again really is my story. And I'm one of those people who, has, I don't know how much time with complications. And I always kind of get a little curious when someone says I was a skinny kid, because I'm like, well, interesting, that is a touchstone or a center of gravity that I never had, because I also was a compulsive overeater. My family tells those stories about being in the baby carriage, holding my breath because I didn't get something to eat till I turned blue. And so I developed this disease very early, the internal pieces, and then also those external body image, all those different things. What I know about my relapses is that they have brought me back again, and that they serve to either increase my willingness or my despair. I think that, that phrase about, I am a person who has lost my legs, I'm not going to grow new ones, I'm not going to be able to, on my own, handle food today, because my mind will say, live through today with the help of food, and then tomorrow. It's harder to do that on New Year's Day, because we're all sort of in touch with, oh yeah, this is the day that this starts. But that was the lie that I always told myself, is just wait for tomorrow and then you'll get it together. But my last binge, I can remember, in my food plan, I don't drink soda pop, because I was like a baby with a bottle. I was always, running around with two or three Diet Cokes going at the same time. And it's, it just fuels a lot of bad behaviors. So I started with that, and then salty stuff that I would eat so hard that I had cut the inside of my mouth. And so that's what my relapse has done for me, is made me more willing today and made me appreciate how great abstinence feels, both physically and the emotional stability that it brings. Because, my head will say, I'll be less sick if I just eat my way to calmness today and then figure out, a way to deal with it. And, without legs, I need the spiritual part of this program to help me abstain and just deal with the fallout of whatever comes. And I will be able to do that with abstinence. And that's what this year has given me. And I'm so grateful to everyone here. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm Nancy. I'm a recovering compulsive eater and sugar addict from Colorado, Boulder, Colorado. I do a lot of phone meetings. I'm so happy I came today. I have, I've done every state convention for the last 8 years, but this is the first brunch. So thank you, Central Colorado. This has been great. So I really related to the speaker's story today, because I came in and out since 1989, maybe. I got clean and sober in 1988 and came in and out and in and out and in and out. And because I didn't wear my disease on my body, I thought I did, but it's a little anorexic thinking there. It took me a long time to accept the disease idea of this disease. And 8 years ago, I just knew this was the only thing. And I came back, and I have done 3 meetings a week, and had a sponsor, and been a sponsor, and done service, and just done everything you guys said. And it's a miracle. I have the miracle today. I have the promises of the program. I am happy, joyous, and free. So if you are new in the program, just keep coming back. Don't spread it out over a quarter of a century. Just stay here. So thank you.
Okay, we have reached the end of the program. Time flies when you're having fun, right? And let me see. We'd like to thank all of the people who worked to put this thing together, so we're going to ask them all to stand. And I'd like to thank the Stepettes again, I mean, as long as you're under my power. And let's see. All right, and so we're going to end with a special treat, which is Roseanne's prayer, and Mark's going to sing it for us, I believe. Am I right, Mark?
Sure.
Surprise! Mark's going to sing it for us. And there should be song sheets on everybody's. We're going to circle up. Circle the wagons. Woo-hoo. Join hands.
Together, we can do what we could never do all alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Our wildest dreams.
Thanks, everybody, for coming, and we hope to see you next year. Same time, hopefully same place.